And even though it's not Father's Day has been, who had a lovely Father's Day? I enjoyed hanging along, tagging along. You know, Pete says it should be Father's Day every day, and it should be Mother's Day every day, and probably that's true. But anyway, Leanne has a beautiful program, and so I just would like to open with prayer and pray for her. Father, we just thank you for the blessing of the freedom that we have here today in this country, in this town, at this time. And Father, for the freedom to be able to speak the word of Jesus, to share the love of Jesus with those around us. So Father, I just pray your anointing and blessing upon Leanne as she brings this gospel message in song. And so Father, I pray that the songs will just stay on our hearts and stay in our mouths as we sing them this coming week. So Father, just bless each person here who hears these songs, and Lord, let us open up our hearts to what you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody want an iPhone 10 brand new case? It's on the table. I just got it for my phone, then my phone packed it in and I went up a next model. So just a little bit of trivia. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for having me here today. As Judy said, I'm Leanne Day, for those of you who don't know. We used to go to this church, actually, way back before we moved to the Gold Coast, and then we moved to Harvey Bay and then moved back to Toowoomba. So today I wanted to... I'm not here to teach anything or to tell you anything or to tell men and fathers how they should be. That's not what I'm all about. I'm presenting... It's not a concert. It's not... what do you call it?
Performance,
yes. It's not anything like that. I always call it a gospel musical presentation. And it's because I want the gospel to speak through the songs. And I'll talk a little bit in between the songs, but I'd like the songs to tell the story of the gospel. And I always suggest that people, you know, bring their friends and neighbours, because often, as Judy said in our prayer time this morning, often music can do something that words can't. It hits you in the heart. I'm here with my mother. You might have noticed she's dressed exactly the same as me, except for her shoes. That's Dawn Lord. And she was coming to the ladies group, but she's nearly 93, so she's had to pull back a little bit. But she still comes out with me when I travel around, and we go all sorts of places around Queensland. And I used to do this with my husband before he passed away in December 22. So I've been learning to do it on my own, which has been a bit of a difficult time and a steep learning curve. But anyway, I hope that these songs do speak to you. You probably won't know a lot of them. Some of them I haven't ever sung in public before. But I wanted to pick songs that were particularly relevant to fathers and men. Not all of them are, but a lot of them are. If you know them or if you want to sing along, feel free. I don't care if you can't sing. It doesn't matter. It's all a sweet sound in the Lord's ear, isn't it? But if you want to just sit back and reflect on the words and the song and just let it minister to you, then feel free to do that. There's no rules about what we do today. What I do is I create videos for each song. So I purchase the actual backing track to the song, so that enables me to legally sing it in public. That's no problem. And I pick videos and photos that are royalty free on a particular website. So everything's above board. And then I just put it all together. I've got a video editing program that I've taught myself, which took some doing, I can tell you. But so what I do is I put the words over scenery, or, you know, some beautiful scenes which you probably saw in as we were sitting here waiting. So before I embark on today's program, I just wanted to say that this time is particularly to honour the men and the husbands and the fathers in our group, because it's not very often, I suppose, maybe once or twice a year, that you're highlighted as being such an important member of families and churches and society in general. You provide leadership and headship for us, and we thank you for that. But first of all, yes, yeah, give them a clap. Thank you to you all. Before we embark on today's presentation, gospel musical presentation, I say that when I go to aged care facilities, because a lot of them think it's just a concert, and I say, this is gospel, so I will be talking about Jesus, so now's your chance. If you don't want to hear that, you can go back to your room. But what I wanted to do in the first song was to welcome the Holy Spirit, because we know he's here already, where two or three are gathered. But this song, just let it minister to you as we welcome the Holy Spirit.
Now, before you, Lord,
love, isn't it? And can you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit now? This next little video clip talks about this. It talks about the celebrations and challenges of being a father, a Christian father in today's world. So it's just a tiny little clip, but I really liked it, and I hope you like it too. Listening to that, I can imagine that you're thinking fatherhood's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? But of course our perfect example is God, who sent his only son Jesus, and he was the best father we could ever have, isn't he? We strive to be like him, but unfortunately on this earth we can't, but we have the Holy Spirit who teaches us. And 2 Timothy 2:2 says, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so God doesn't want you to be a perfect father, perfect mother or wife or man or woman. What he wants is us to be faithful and to follow him. This next song talks about what he wants of our men.
This dying world could use
is a willing man of God who dares to go against the grain and work without applause. A man will raise the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure. God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away. He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men.
Men full of compassion, laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men.
He calls the broken derelict whose life has been renewed. He calls the one who has the strength to stand up for the truth. Enlistment lines are open,
and he wants you to come in. He just needs a few good men full of compassion, life and love and pride. Men who'll face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who'll fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men full of compassion, life and love and cry. Men who'll face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men will fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men full of compassion, life and love and pride. Men will face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men will fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. He just needs a few good men. He just needs a few.
Second Timothy, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And there he is handing the baton on. If you have faith as big as a mustard seed, that's what it says in Matthew 17:20, you can tell a mountain to jump into the sea and it'll go. Who believes that could ever happen? I mean, you know, we just sort of think that's a bit of a you don't take it literally, do you? But there's a few children in Japan who took it literally. They were in an orphanage, and it was six stories high. This is a true story. David Pawson tells this story, and I heard him tell it, and I thought, wow, I'm going to tell that. A bit like Judy's jokes, if you sort of grab hold of things when you see them, don't you? Anyway, they had this orphanage six stories high. And on three sides, there were public streets. So they couldn't extend. They were bursting at the seams. They needed to extend. But on the other side, the fourth side, there was a mountain. So they thought, oh, well, there's not much we can do. The missionaries discussed the situation, and one of them laughingly said, maybe if we had the faith as big as a mustard seed, we could tell that mountain to be removed. And they all laughed. All the missionaries laughed. But the children, there was a couple of children who heard that. So they went away in the innocence of childhood and they prayed, God, could you please move that mountain so that we can have more orphans to have a home in this orphanage? That was their prayer, very simple. Then they all went away on their annual little holiday to wherever. And they came back, the mountain's gone. It's just disappeared. The missionary said, how can that be? And the children said, well, we asked for it to go, so it's gone. What's wrong with you? God answered our prayer. The missionaries weren't happy with that, though, so they asked what had happened. Well, apparently it was a seaport town, and they needed a lot of soil to fill in a bit more of the seaway so that more ships could come in. And so they looked around and they thought, that mountain. That we'll go and get that. So while the children and the missionaries were away on a holiday, in came the graders and the heavy lifters, and they got rid of that mountain. I don't know how big it was, but they got rid of that mountain and threw it, like they literally threw it into the sea somewhere else, just a little bit further down the road, because they needed that. And so that's what they told the missionaries. But isn't that just amazing, the faith of a little child? And it's like the faith as big as a mustard seed. They had it, didn't they? They had that faith. Yeah, it's an amazing story. David Pawson still has a photo, apparently, of that orphanage and where the mountain used to be. But you know, even if you have faith of, to tell a mountain to jump into the sea, if you don't have love, it means nothing, does it? God's word tells us that even if we give away all our possessions to the poor, but we don't have love, then we don't have anything. Because love is the most important thing. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know that verse. The love of God. Such beautiful words. You don't hear words like that anymore, do you? Where every stalk on earth a quill, where every man a scribe by trade, the love of God. Psalm 103 verse 13 identifies tenderness and compassion as characteristics of a good father. In the Old Testament, Abraham was chosen by God, it says in Genesis, to command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, by doing righteousness and justice. And over 2,000 years later, the Apostle John celebrated the faith of his spiritual children, saying, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So it wasn't just his biological children that he cared about. He cared about all of the new churches that were popping up. So the role of fatherhood is very important to God. and to generations to come. And Isaiah 41:13 gives us all guidance on how we can successfully fulfill our roles, whether it's fatherhood or motherhood or anything else, singlehood. It says, and this is the Message Bible, so it's quite down to earth. It says, I, your God, have a firm grip on you, and I'm not letting you go. I'm telling you, don't panic. I'm right here to help you. And you're not alone. Crusades. But he once said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. And he emphasized that father is a crucial God-given responsibility, focused on love, guidance, and setting a spiritual example. And he did acknowledge that in his own family he was away a lot overseas, and so he couldn't do everything that he would have wanted to do with his family because of his frequent travel. But he always pointed his children toward faith in God, and we can see that happening now, can't we, with his children. He encouraged fathers to find strength in God despite imperfections. He doesn't want you to be perfect. He knows you can't be perfect. To seek forgiveness and make the most of the time in your family. And forgiveness is a big thing in families, isn't it? Because somebody does something that hurts you, and you can do two things. You can either forgive and love them anyway, or you can turn your back and never talk to them again. And that happens so often, doesn't it, in families. The passion that burned in Billy's heart was that people would understand that God, our Father, wants a relationship with us, his children. And that's not just a Wednesday night and a Sunday relationship or a Tuesday morning relationship. It's a relationship where we spend time with him every day, reading his word, talking to him in prayer and listening listening for the thoughts that he pops into your head. Before Billy died, he was in his 90s, I think, he recorded just a short video talking about heaven and how it was his home and how much he was looking forward to going there.
I know I'm going to heaven. I'm looking forward to it with great anticipation because of what Jesus did on that cross. He died for us, but he was raised by God. I've found a lot of years of my life, and I've had sicknesses and been in the hospital and so forth. There's a peace that just resides there and stays there that I cannot explain.
We all die. I'm not going to escape it. I don't want to escape it. I want to go. The vast majority of my life has already been lived. My record has already been made. I don't have very much longer. I know that.
Some of my closest friends and relatives, and especially my wife, are already in heaven. And because of the hope we have in Jesus, we can all be in heaven someday forever.
A radical change must take place before you can get into heaven, before you can be accepted by God. You say, well, what do I have to do? You must repent of sin. You repent and you believe. Believe in Christ and you receive him in your heart and say, Lord Jesus, come in, and he'll come in. You don't have long. You'll be in eternity, and the decision you make tonight may decide where you'll be. And anybody can believe. A blind man can believe. A deaf man can believe. An old person can believe. A young person can believe. And that word believe means commit. I commit my life totally to him.
And that was Billy's favorite verse, wasn't it? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I knew that was coming. That he gave his only, one and only son. And we can all look forward to heaven one day, can't we? I mean, we've all lost someone, I think, along the way. Looking at all the grey hair out there, I think we've all lost somebody, whether it be a spouse or a parent. I lost, as I said before, I lost my husband to cancer in December 22, and Dad died 5 months after that. So I know, and I'm not frightened of death, I know that when that time comes, that they'll be called out, I reckon. They'll be called out to welcome me, and it will be a great reunion. And I'm sure you're all looking forward to that, the reunion with the ones who've gone before. And there's no more death there, no more crying, no more shame, because we'll all be in that heavenly place, peace in the valley.
So weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Yes. Well, the morning's so bright, and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as black. The lion shall lay down by the land, oh yes, and the beast from the wild shall be led by a child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am.
Disasters that happen and the things that go on in the world, I mean, it's just getting worse by the day, isn't it? We look forward to that time when we can have peace in the valley. Cole Stringer, you probably know of him, he may even have preached here, I don't know. He's written a whole heap of books, and he has a lot to say about the role of men in society and how it's been denigrated over time to a point where many find it difficult to show leadership and strength within their families and within society, because there's a lot of, you know, this feminism has come in and it's downplayed the role of men. And that's a sad thing. Cole says, let the lion get back his roar. Mark 16, 15 to 16 is a word for all of us, men and women. And it tells us what God expects of us. You know, we have our role in our families and in our church. But what role do we have in society? Well, this verse says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And that last bit of that sentence should urge us into action. You know, this life is like 10 minutes compared to eternity. And we've all got members in our family who haven't made that decision. And we can't Bible bash them, but, you know, there's opportunities, and there's opportunities out in the world as well that pop up. I know they do for me. Mum, you know, when we go to these aged care facilities, I just thought of this, you know, we go to about 50 in a year of different things. And so I do my thing, I sing and whatnot, and I feel like that's preparing hearts. And then Mum zeroes in on people afterwards. And she's had about 6 or 7 people give their life to the Lord because of her approach to them. And she's got a little bag that she's got, you know, some devotionals in, those devotionals, Jan, that you gave me. She gives them out, and we've got some large print New Testaments that we give out too. Most of them have Bibles, but I suspect they gather dust in the drawer in their room most of the time. So Mum just goes up and says, do you know the Lord? That's what she says. And because they're all pretty old, they don't mind. They don't mind her saying that. Because she's 90. She's older than most of the people in the home. Some of them say, are you coming in? And you say, no, she's not. She's with me. But we've picked out the one we might like. But she just goes up and says, do you know the Lord? And a lot of them, you know, they've listened to the songs and they I think they understand for the first time, especially, you know, some that have come from a Catholic background where it's, you know, a lot of it's works. And many of them say no. They actually say, no, I don't. So Mum says, would you like to? And they say yes. And so she has a little prayer with them. And she gives them a devotional booklet. And we don't know what happens after that. We can only pray. She writes their names down in her little prayer list. And she prays for them every day, that somebody will follow them up, that they won't just, you know, fall back into their old ways. And so that's a responsibility of each one of us. We can find a niche somewhere, and we have the divine appointments that come to us every day sometimes, where we can reflect Jesus to others. We've just got to step into the water.
Step into the water, way out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, way out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God.
It's time we the people stand up for what is right. It's time we squared our shoulders back, raised our swords to fight. Oh, the Bible is my weapon, and the Spirit is my shield. The church needs more of its members to be workers in the field. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God, to the Lamb of God.
There is victory for the Christian who walks the narrow way. There has been a prize upon it for the soul who does not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus, be all that I should be, so that I can rest with Him forever, eternally. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God, to the Lamb of God. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Come join angels singing, hear those glad bells ringing. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Step into the water. That's what we've got to do. Wade out a little bit deeper, and don't take our eyes off Jesus, because we know what happens then, don't we? Yeah, we sink pretty quickly. As long as we trust in the Lord and obey His word, we can be confident that it's not just us against the world. And He doesn't promise us an easy life, does He? In fact, exactly the opposite. It says, in this world you will have trouble, but behold, I have overcome the world. And He promises that He will never leave us or forsake us, even in our darkest valleys. You know, we experience so many upsetting and difficult things in life, don't we? You know, we have death in the family, and suddenly, you know, the death of a spouse is particularly difficult, isn't it? Because suddenly you wake up in the morning and you look across and they're not there anymore. And you go to turn to tell them something, and you remember they're not there anymore. And that's just one of the things. Kids can go astray. No matter how well you've brought them up, they can rebel and go their own way and cause you a lot of heartache and grief. So there's lots of grief in the world. And God promises that you're not alone, that he goes through it with you. And do you believe that he sends little messages sometimes? I reckon he does, you know, because it says, you know, he understands everything, right down to the finest detail he's interested in our life. He waits there every day for us to commune with him, to speak to him, to pray to him and listen. And I believe he sees us when we cry in the night and when we go through struggles. And on the first anniversary of my husband's death, I happened to receive a parcel. This is nothing, it was just something that I'd ordered online. I'm trying to wean myself off that. But anyway, this parcel arrived on our wedding, what would have been our 42nd wedding anniversary. We were married for 41 years when he died. And I opened it up and it was, I don't know what it was, just something for the house. But laying on the top was this red rose. Now, I don't know why that was on the top. There's no reason, like it wasn't a place that sells flowers. It was just like a tablecloth or something, I don't know. But there was this red rose. And I believe that was a little thing from God, just to say, you know, I know what today means to you, and I'm going to give you a red rose. And he's come to us in other ways. I'll play this little, while I'm talking, it's just a video, there's no noise. My father's name is Bill Lord. There you go. You can see how it's spelled, B-I-L-L-L-O-R-D. Well, I saw this online one day. Can you see that? It's a kettle. And the brand of it is Bill Lord. I couldn't believe it. I saw it and I thought, oh, I'm seeing things. And so I had to buy it, didn't I? It's, Mum will hold it up and we'll put it on that table. We've got three of them in the family now. We bought three of them. I just could not believe that. And I really believe that that was God just sending Mum and us a little message, you know, that he's got Dad, he's got Gary. We don't have to worry anymore about them because they're experiencing perfect love and peace. And that little, I was walking along one day, just on my walk, and I happened to be thinking about Dad. And you know, you miss Dad because he's been around for 91 years. And he's gone, he broke his hip, and that was the end of him. But then I saw this thing on the grass, and I went to pick it up, and it's got Bill on it. I have no idea why. Anyway, I gave it to Mum. I think he does. I think he does send us little messages just to lift our hearts, especially on days when we're feeling pretty flat, you know, because the ones we love most in the world are starting to go. And when you lose your spouse and you're only in your 60s, you know, there's others who lose their spouse much earlier and they have to go through life with the memory of their spouse and knowing that he's never going to be there. And they have to wait till they get up top to see him again. He gives us people in our lives and he asks us to love the people that he gives us. I got the call this morning. I can't believe he's gone. Forever, but one more time proves me wrong. It was just a week ago, thought I should call and say hello. Now I'm reminded once again, life's a vapor. That God gives you, they're
a gift that heaven sent. Live and laugh and make some memories. Treasure every moment spent. Cause none of us are here forever. That's a proven story. I wonder where the time has gone. Children laughing round the table now have children of their own. There may be things you need to say. So while today the chance to hold them close, one more chance to let them know, love the people that God gives you, they're a gift that heaven sends, live and laugh and make some memories.
Away, and we all live eternally, don't we? Our spirit and our soul, and we'll be reunited with our body, but it's a matter of location, isn't it? and decisions we make here on this earth determine where we spend eternity, like Billy said. You know, sometimes despite your best efforts, your kids go astray, don't they? And they go off and do things, and you think, oh dear, don't do that. That's going to be a disaster. That's all going to end in tears. Or they end up with some partner and you really don't like them. Or they wander away from their Christian beliefs and they want a taste of the world. And sometimes we've just got to love them where they are, no matter what they're doing, no matter where they are. Sometimes there's a big change that has to happen, thanks to Calvary. Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them. I don't come anymore. Background and others come from another background, and it's a bigger change for some than others. And as I was saying, you know, children can wander off as well. We've just got to love them where they are, no matter where they end up. A bit like the prodigal son, you know, he went off and did all sorts of things as with dad's money, his inheritance, until it all ran out. And then he came back, and his father saw him away off, a noble man he was, and he hitched up his noble robes and he ran to greet his son, because he said, my son who was gone has come home. And it didn't matter what he did, it didn't matter all of the wine, women and song that he was involved in with dad's money. He was welcomed back, because the father loved him still wherever he was. Ain't always easy. It can pull the life out of you. Watching a loved one go through the fire, what can you do? What can you do? You gotta love them where they are, before they drift away. God is gonna keep them safe. And when you wake up worrying, wondering what you're gonna do, remember you were loved where you were by somebody too. Trusting God that He's gonna get you through. It's never easy letting go. of things that were never in your control. God never wastes the tears you cry. He keeps them in his heart, and they'll be waiting for you on the other side. You gotta love them where they are, however far they drift away. And no matter where they are, pray that God is gonna keep them safe. And when you wake up worrying, wondering what you gotta do, remember you were loved where you were by someone too. Trust in God that he's gonna get you through. It's not if you wake up, it's when you wake up, because I'm sure when you're in that situation, you have a few sleepless nights, or you wake up and you're thinking, what can I do to solve this problem? Well, you know, God says to cast all your care on him because he cares for you in 1 Peter. And so we don't have to worry about such things. We just commit it to prayer. He knows that we carry burdens, and we do. It's a human thing to worry. But the peace that he gives is a peace that is beyond human understanding, and we can only get it if we cast all our care on him. And this next song talks about that, about how we should just stop worrying. Are you a worrier? I'm a worrier. So it's a bit harder for me, I think, than some people who just, you know, they just seem to float through life and whatever happens. They don't seem to carry many burdens. But there's others of us that the burdens keep piling up. And God says, don't worry. Cast all your care on me.
He's got the whole thing in his hands.
don't worry, I'm not gonna fret. I'm not gonna speculate or contemplate what hasn't happened yet. I'm not gonna worry, he's got the whole thing in his head. He's got the whole thing in his head. He's got the whole thing in his head.
So we can rely on Jehovah Jireh, our provider, because he's engraved you on the palms of his hands. He cares for you so deeply. He doesn't want to see you worrying. He puts all your tears in a bottle. But we can rely on the fact that he is coming again. So despite all the worries of the world, he is coming again, and we strain towards that prize, don't we? Because Paul wrote in Philippians 3:14, run straight toward the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above. So we should always have that in our focus. What do we do? What do we need to do? What is God's purpose for us? He's given every single one of you a purpose. Have you found it yet? It's never too late to find it, even in your old age. Even when your hair is grey, he will not forsake you. We can look forward to that time when he comes. So we finish off today with this song, which is a positive song, Come Jesus Come. Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray, come Jesus come, let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come Jesus, past will be worn. coming soon. I leave you with this thought. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace. Thank you all very much.
Sort of like I've been washed over. Just this beautiful peace flowing in this place this morning. So, Father, we just thank you for your presence here, for your Spirit, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for Leanne and for Dawn. The ministry that you've placed in them, that they have they've just made it so beautiful, Father. I just thank you, and I pray that blessing that Leanne prayed just now be upon her and upon Dawn and upon the ministry that you have given them. We thank you, Father, for Dawn in her 92 years still leading people to the Lord. What a celebration. And so, Father, I just pray that that challenge also would be on our hearts, that we will be better people. We will keep our eyes fixed on you. Father, even the sermon on Sunday was about letting our light shine, and we need to be people that people will be drawn to. We need to emanate the love of Jesus, and we need to love people around us. And so, Father, I just pray that we go from this place that we will shine Jesus, that we will love people that he brings into our lives. And Lord, I just pray a blessing and anointing again on each person here, that as we go out, we will carry that hope and that purpose in our hearts to reach the lost for Jesus. And even as Leanne said, those so close to us, and sometimes they're the hardest. So Father, we just pray that you'll bring other people into their lives that can be Jesus with skin on. So just bless her, bless this ministry in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And the men have graciously. No, this one's from the men. It's a Coorong voucher from the men. Sorry about that. Stapler. Thank you, men. And a little gift from us, and we're going to take her out for lunch. So I know. It's a thank you gift from Thank You Company. And for those who don't know about Thank You Company, I'll put in a little bit. Thank You Company is a Christian company. 100% of their profits goes towards third world programs, compassion. They don't reinvent the wheel, they pass it on. And they have given, actually you can read it on every bottle that you buy, something like $2 million that they have been given. And it's Australian young Christians that live in Melbourne that started this company as a passion for Christ and wanting to make change in the world. So if you need hand wash, body wash, hand lotions, sanitizers, sold in Coles and Woolies, you can buy it online. Thank you, products. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, everyone. Thanks. Yeah. So bless you all. Men, have a great day. Everyone have a great day, but ladies, we'll see you back next week for some fun with Lyndall.